One of the series that we've been going through during the last few weeks, few months, is called Ask the Pastor Almost Anything. Almost Anything. And today's question is one of those questions that not only an adult asked, but one of our youth asked. And the question is this: why or how did you get into ministry? Why or how did you become a preacher? And so as I look back, I have to remember how I grew up. We all grow up somewhere. Some of us have grown up to be a part of the church or have grown up in church. Others of us have grown up apart from the church or away from the church. I grew up going to church all the time. You see, there wasn't ever a time when I didn't know that God loved me, that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And so I always knew that, even as a little child. You see, my dad was a pastor. My dad pastored a church. In fact, he pastored three churches. And the second church is the church I knew growing up. We were there the longest. But my dad had some issues. He was a heavy drinker. We would call him an alcoholic today. And as a result of his alcoholism and some other issues he was going through, my dad was asked to leave the church. So we moved to another city, and my dad had another church for about a year, and then they asked him to leave. So here I am. I've grown up going to church all my life. My dad was a pastor, but he wasn't always a godly man at home. And there were some nicks, there were some scars, maybe even what I would call wounds that were inflicted that I received as a part of growing up in that family. My dad began working as a salesman, and that job lasted about a year. We moved back up to Michigan where he grew up, and one Friday night he came home. He was fired from his job, and he overdosed. And that's just where we grew up. Now, my mom continued to take us five kids to church. She continued through high school. I was 13 when my dad died, so for about the next 5 years, we continued to go to church. And I have to admit that sometimes I went to church simply because it was out of habit. And when I was about 15 or 16, there was a moment in worship service. It was during the preaching where the pastor said something. I don't really recall what it was, but I heard God speaking to me. I heard that still small voice of God kind of speaking to my spirit. The other reason we continued to go to church, however, was not because I was spiritually in tune with God, not because of habit, simply because there was Dunkin' Donuts after church if we attended. Now, as many, when they get to their college years or after high school, after they get out from underneath mom and dad, I stopped going to church. I didn't really see a need for it. I didn't see any purpose in it. I would rather sleep in. Who wouldn't rather sleep in on a Sunday morning from time to time? Well, put your hands down. So I continued to not go to church through college, and as I began working out in the workforce, I had graduated from Central Michigan with a degree in computer science. I was a programmer, first with a small company for a couple of years, and then with Ford Motor Company for about the next 14 years. And as I continued to work early on, I recognized that there was an emptiness in my life, that there was virtually a hole somewhere in my heart. And I tried to fill it with things like work, with drinking, with women or other social activities. And anything I tried did not seem to fill that void, did not seem to fill that vacuum in my life. And even during that time, I was still aware of God. Like if I came out to a park or if I was out in nature, I would be reminded of God's presence in the world. The beauty of all that God has created would remind me of God's presence. But I was living in the city, and the most nature I came into was a bush by the front door of my apartment. So I didn't really pay much attention to God. But this vacuum, this void in my heart, I was about 24 or so, began to become larger. I was independent money-wise, so it wasn't a money issue. And this void resulted in two questions bubbling up in my life. And the first question was, what's the purpose of life? I'm sure you have asked that question at some point in your life. What is the purpose in life? And I found that that general question really, really began to work in me. Are we just born? Do we just have childhoods, whether they're good or bad? Do we go learn stuff at school and then at some point go into the working force, and then we work for some of us 40, 50, even 50 years? And for what purpose? So that we could have a retirement? So that the golden years, which are not so all of a sudden golden at that age, you're working on trying to just exist, to live. I see people who live in those golden years with very little, and some with a tremendous amount. But the question is, in their spirit, are they happy? Are they joyful? The second question, I imagine you might have already guessed it, is not what is the purpose of life, but what is the purpose of my life, independent from everyone else's life? Why was I created? Why am I here? What do I have to offer the world? At this point, I started going back to church. I knew that there was something there that might be able to help me answer those two questions. And I ran into a bunch of people, some my age, who were really interested in the things of God. This was an exciting time for me because I knew God existed, but, you know, there wasn't real any real deep internal excitement for God in my life. And yet some of these people had it. And what I recognized was that one person in particular, as I talked with them, their relationship with God was as a father who loved her. And Jesus was not someone who just died on the cross, but someone who was her friend. And the Holy Spirit was her guide through the difficulties and the joys of life, walked with her. For me, God was way up in heaven somewhere. Jesus Christ had died on the cross 2,000 years ago for my disobedience to God, but then went back up to heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father. So they're like way out there, and I was really clueless as to who the Holy Spirit was. It was then that I recognized that the joy, the peace that they had found in having a relationship with God was different than what I had. They had that peace, that joy that comes with knowing God, with being in relationship with God. And it was at that moment, I remember it was a Labor Day weekend. I was in the chapel and I had to make a decision about what I was going to do with this God thing. Was I going to continue to look for another reason for the purpose of life, or had I found that reason for the purpose of life? And I remember my heart was pounding because I knew if I was going to decide to get off the throne in my heart where I was making decisions for my life and say, okay, Jesus, you sit on the throne, I knew my life would change because not only would I be not in control, but I would be allowing God to direct my paths, to lead my life. And I remember my heart pounding, and I finally said yes. And I got off the throne, and I invited Jesus to be on the throne in my heart, and that I would follow Jesus wherever he took me. Now, do you guys remember a movie, actually two movies called National Treasure? Disney put them out. It's about a guy who's interested in hunting treasure. You may see shows like that on National Geographic. But he's a treasure seeker, and he continues to look at clues and figure out what these clues mean that lead him to the next clue and continue on. And there are people in his life that think he's off his rocker looking for these treasures, but as he invests himself, as he follows the clues, he finds the treasure in the end. And Christians are no different. We're seeking a treasure. Well, actually, not just Christians, but all people. We're seeking an eternal treasure where we have to follow the clues, where we have to pursue God. And one of the main ways we pursue God is through the Bible, through reading the Bible. And when we begin interacting with God through His Word, when we begin worshiping God on a regular basis, we end up finding the one true and real treasure that life has to offer. The real meaning, the real purpose in life is found in God, because it is God who created us. And if God created us, then God has a purpose for us. Jesus said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And that was one of those early scriptures that I read. And I recognized that if I wanted to find that purpose, that meaning in life, I needed to continue to follow Jesus. It wasn't just a one-time transaction where you say, I believe Jesus is my Savior and everything is good from there on out. Jesus says to follow Him, not just one day, not just 2 days or a week or a month, but follow me for the rest of your life. And you will find joy. You will find peace, even in the midst of difficulties. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean life is going to be easy, but it does mean that you have someone to walk through life with. The second part of that scripture was, and I will make you fishers of men. Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men, Jesus said. And as I followed Jesus, I started wanting more deeply in my heart to help others to know Jesus, to help others to find this fisherman. One of the scriptures I read came from a book called Isaiah in the Old Testament. And Isaiah has this vision of God up in the temple, and his train is there, and there are angels up there saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of His glory, constantly worshiping God. And Isaiah says, I am a man of unclean lips. And an angel takes a coal off of the altar and touches his lips and makes him whole again. And then God asks, who can I send? Who will go out for me? And Isaiah says, here I am, send me. And I read those words, and I remember that morning in devotion, reading those words, and as I read Isaiah's response, here I am, send me, I found that it was me saying those words. God, here I am. It had been maybe 5 to 10 years that I had been following God now, and I just had that deeper desire to be the one that God sent. So when we talk about moving from just being an everyday Christian to being one who is called, that was that moment for me. I felt called to more than just lay ministry, to preaching the word, to giving people sacraments, to ordering the life of a church. There was another story about a guy named Gideon, and in that story, Gideon is asked by God to do something specific. And Gideon is a timid guy, and he's not sure what God wants him to do, and says, so he takes a lamb's fleece and he throws it out on the ground, and he says, God, if this is what you really want me to do, in the morning, make that fleece wet, but the ground dry around it. And in the morning, what do you imagine happened? The fleece was wet and the ground was dry. Well, of course, Gideon wasn't sure if that was really God, and he said, God, forgive me. But tomorrow morning, can the fleece be dry and the ground wet around it, and then I'll know for sure that you're sending me. And what happened the next morning? The ground was wet and the fleece was dry. Well, I'm a lot like Gideon. I think we're all a lot like Gideon. Sometimes we hear God speaking to us and we don't know, is that really what you want me to do, God? And so I threw out my proverbial fleece, and I said, God, sometime today somebody has to mention in some way that you want me in the ministry. They can't know anything about any of the conversations I've had with just a few other people. So I went to work. I was at Ford. Nothing happened. That night our church was having a softball game, and I got there early to warm up. And John was there. Now, John was a little younger than I, he was actually going through a process called the candidacy process to become a pastor. And I thought to myself, surely God, you're going to use John. And so John and I stretched a little bit. We went for a jog around the park, and I said, okay, God, I'll help you out. So John, tell me how the candidacy process is going. And he goes, blah, 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 blah. And he's telling me about it. And I said, here it comes, God. Here it comes. And John goes, Paul, how's it going with you and your family? Blah, 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 blah. And I said to God, I said, God, you just missed your best chance. It's gone. The fleece is dry and the ground is dry around it. Nothing happened. Well, we began throwing ball, and then this old guy came along and wanted to start throwing with us. He was part of the team. I was in my late 20s. John was in his early 20s. And this guy was, I think, 45, 47. He said, can I throw with you guys? And we said, sure. And so we're throwing back and forth. And then John goes, you know what? I'm warmed up. And so Jim and I were throwing back and forth. And then, for a backstory, a roommate of mine, Chris, and a friend of mine from Saginaw, Kevin, had both gone into the ministry. I had moved down from Saginaw. And so as we're throwing, Jim says to me, out of the blue, so what is it about all you boys from Saginaw going into ministry? And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, well, you know, Chris and Kevin, and what about you? You're built, you're designed for ministry, you do that kind of stuff. And I said, what about me? But it was as though God had hit me square on the forehead. And I knew that God had answered my prayer, not how I thought he should answer it, but how he wanted to answer it. So that's how I got called into ministry, and it took one more reminder from God to actually get there, and that reminder had two components to it. One, a sociologist had taken a survey of 80 and 90 year olds and asked to do it differently, what would they do? And they said, if I had a chance to live life over, I would make more relationships and I would take more risks. And this was a huge risk. I had been working at Ford, had a family that was dependent upon me. And so it was going to be a huge risk. But the other thing was, I didn't want to turn 80 or 90 years old and look back on life and say, God, I did almost everything you wanted me to do. And then knowing I would be disappointed that I hadn't done everything that God had required of me. And so at that point, we made the move to go to seminary, and now we've been pastoring for about 15 years. My question to you this morning is, where are you at in your story with God? If we look at life, life has stages. We're born, we grow up as children, we get educated, we go on into the workforce for a time, we retire, we die. So there are some distinct stages in life. And my question is where are you with God? Are you still far away from God? You don't take much time for God. You recognize that there is a God, but you don't invest in God at all. Or maybe that next stage is that you simply go to church every Sunday morning or as many Sundays as you can, because you do recognize that God is important, but that's all you're willing to give God. Or do you go to that next stage and do you begin to open the Bible for yourself? Because this is the stage where God really begins that ability to communicate with us on a regular basis. Do you open up God's Word on a regular basis and ask God, speak to me? Or does that book sit on a shelf, a dusty shelf somewhere, and maybe it comes off every year or so when something important comes up? Maybe you're at a stage where you've embraced God and you read the Bible regularly, but you haven't really asked God what it is that you want me to do. What ministry do you want me to be a part of, Lord? How can I serve you within the community of faith? And how can I serve you in the world? What's my purpose for your life? Or what's my purpose for my life, Lord? Or maybe you've done all those things and it's old hat to you. And you said, well, I've moved into retirement. I really don't need to do anything anymore. But that's not true. God wants to use us until the day we die. Whether it's conversations we have, encouragement, whether it's living a life of joy and passing that joy on to those around us. What stage of life are you at is my question to you this morning. And what are you going to do about it? What will it take to get you from where you're at to that next stage or the stage after that? What is it that gets you from just coming to worship on a Sunday to coming to worship every Sunday looking for God? What is it that's going to move you from coming to worship to opening your Bible and reading it on a regular basis and spending time with God? What are those things that you need to do? What is that thing that God is asking you to do this morning? What is that stage that God is asking you to commit to this morning? Here's the answer. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what God is asking you to do. I don't know what God is asking you to become. But I do know that God is asking. And that if you say yes, God will give you all of the joy and the peace that comes with that choice. God will give you the strength to move into that next stage. But the choice will always be yours. The choice will always be yours. Let me say a word of prayer. If the band would come forward too. God, we are grateful for all that you do and all that you ask us to do in this life. And we ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to seek you, as we continue to worship you, Lord, that not only would you draw us closer to yourself, but that you would help us to experience your amazing grace. Lord, that we could live in that grace. Not around it, not before it, but in that grace. That you might be glorified by our decisions, by our choices, and by how we live our life. For your glory, we ask all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.